Blog Talk Radio.
Sleeping with the lights on, buried in regrets, breaking into sweats, naked as a falling leaf. Well, it's a natural reaction, driven to distraction, clawing at the ghost I'll never meet. Oh, and I don't know where they go when they vanish in the corners of my eyes. And I don't know why, I don't know if they stay below the rise up to the sky. But I'm letting go, I'm letting go. It's a history that never really grows. I'm letting go, I'm letting go. Silent wind that never really blows. I'm letting go. I'm a slave without a master, heading for disaster, kicking up the dust in the middle of the road. I've been waiting on a free ride, ticket to a seaside thicket on the edge of Puget Sound. There I'll sit, I'll admit that I was only just a guest inside my skin. And by the dawn, I'll be gone and won't be holding on to anything again. I'm letting go, letting go. It's a history that never really grows. I'm letting go, I'm letting go. It's a silent wind that never really blows. Oh, 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 oh.
Tired of the waves that come and knock you off your feet, I'd long to see you on a day when you won't drown. The constant dragging and deceit, your hands been tied in there to greet a life that's bounded to a world that keeps on taking its day. Maybe you're tired of the strains, the lonely highs, the constant rains that seep right through you on the days you're coming down. Maybe relying on horizons where the skies they fill with diamonds, ain't surprising that the love that you have lost is in your mind.
Where we go, we'll take the high.
Maybe you're tired of the waves that come and knock you off your feet, I'd long to see you on a day when you won't drown. Maybe the answer lies beneath these scattered words they put our streets, and now the lights without the power flicker on into the night.
Where we go, we'll take the highs and lows with us while
Crystal, are you there?
I'm here. I was waiting for the sound to stop because you can still hear a slight on at the end. I always wait for it to go at full time. Anyway, hello, everyone. Welcome to A Team of Voices. I'm your host, Crystal Hope, for the last show, over my last show of 2022. It's hard to believe how this year has already like flown by. It's been a boring one. So tonight we're going to be having poets bring you poetry that they wrote in 2022. I don't know if people exactly pick their favorites. I kind of what I asked for. I couldn't even find one of my favorites because I just scoured through my poems a few minutes ago and I was like, I don't know if I really have one. I kind of felt like a lot of my poems were just kind of something memorable or something, but I couldn't find many. Actually, I think I might know one. I might grab it. I just thought of that. But that's what we're going to be doing tonight. I have wonderful Hatter on here with me. And let me go ahead and let Steven in. Hi, Steven.
Hi.
I feel like
how are you?
Been ages. I'm doing wrong. I feel like it's been ages since like you and Kay have called. I don't know why. I know everything kind of gets tangled up. I don't even call your guys' show that often because usually y'all been doing it in like the early evenings and I'm still at work, so like I can't. Like usually I'll see it says 7:30, which means 6:30 where I am, and I'm like, I won't even be home by then. Or if I do, I just get home and I just get in the bed and I'm like, I'm not getting up. I'm not moving. But yeah.
Yeah.
We've been
kind of just taking the earlier slot so we have more, I guess, evening to ourselves.
That makes sense. I can understand that. I think it is. The thing, though, I think it's hard when you're doing podcasts is when you do an earlier show or when you do a really late night show, because then, because either way, sometimes if you do an early show, it gets people still at work. And then if you do a really late show, people are going to bed. But at the same time, you never know. Sometimes you could have that in the middle, like between those times, and people still don't show up. So it all just depends.
You can be in California. Still early.
That's true. That's true. Because you're like 3 hours ahead. Like 2 hours for me and 3 hours from like Eastern time. So, yeah. You're always like way behind.
Hey. Yeah.
That wasn't in a bad way.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Speaking of like, way behind or way forward when it comes to not even the same time slot as us. Let me go ahead and let AP into the room.
Hi, Crystal. How are you?
Hey, AP. Doing well. How are you?
I am very well. It's 2 o'clock on Thursday, the 29th, so we are slightly ahead.
You're ahead. Yeah, you're ahead.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm meaning. We're talking about all the different kind of time zones that you run into. And, like, talking about Hatter, like, being 3 hours behind, me being an hour behind, and you're, like, several hours forward. But, I mean, that's the interesting part of this all, though. You get
Absolutely.
To learn where everybody is from and what time zone they live in. All right, let me see what I have. I don't see anybody on the board. I guess it's still in that. Also, it's towards like the end of the year, and I know people are like doing things and stuff like that. I'm used to people doing things probably on Friday or Saturday, that a few minutes ago, or maybe not even like an hour ago, people already started shooting fireworks, so that's fun. Not fun for my dog, but apparently people are celebrating, so maybe that's where everybody is at. Who knows?
No, I put one up, didn't I? I put one on the...
I saw you saying deciding now. I was in the same boat as you. Like, I was like, do I have a phone I can use? Like,
it was tough. It was tough. There was a couple. I chose the thing, the one I thought was best put together. So we'll see how it goes.
I had a hard time too.
Yeah. You got a reading writing team?
I do, because I got to get up early in the morning.
Okay.
All right, I'm having technical difficulties with my earbuds.
Okay.
They're back on.
Yeah.
I was like, I know I'm not talking. I'm like, I can't help it. I definitely feel, like I said, I think all of us kind of went through that when it came to poems, especially like, because you may have like several poems that you want to pick that you felt like were either your favorite or were really good, and then you might be like, didn't have that many at all. If I had done this type of show in 2019, that would have been me, because I had like 500 poems to pick through, because that was my year of just writing constantly. And then this year, I think it's like 100 and something, so like it wasn't as many to get through, but like a lot of them I was like, man, that one's fair, that one's okay too. And I also didn't do a whole lot of writing because I had like other things that were going on, so, but yeah,
even if you did once a week, you'd have 52 of them.
That's true. But even if like, because there's some people I know that they don't write that much at all. Like, they'll write like maybe once a month. And it'd be weird though if you only did do once a month, you have like 12 poems. That's it. And I guess it's still 12 to pick out of, I guess. If it had been when I had first come to All Poetry, there's like a huge gap between like 2014 and 2017, like, where it's just scattered poems throughout the years, and then so like that would have really been odd, but yeah, I think I had.
I know there's a time in my history too. Yeah, time in my history, I noticed that a hell of a lot more poems. I don't know what year that was. Two, three years back. So.
Yeah, I think you do, because I know a lot of the times when I go back to your page, it's like it says like 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and you'll have like a slew of poems, I think. I think that was your year to just really write.
Yeah. Well, I put Stevens up on the board there.
You put Stevens on there? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know we need to go ahead and start the show. I know Stevens said you need to read a run. So, Steven, whenever you're ready to read, go ahead.
Okay, the way I ended up choosing, because I came up with four after going through my whole year, and then I went to my page and I hit auto rank, and whichever one came up first, that was the one I brought. So this is called On the Banks of the Tamakuna. A cricket sing and fifth leaves fall to the crackle of the campfire, warming up the soles of feet in placidity's desire. Marshmallows toast on ends of twigs, just reaching golden brown, and mashed between two graham crackers and chocolate melting down. Retiring into canvas tent, where sleeping bag dissuades, lulling to the bullfrog's croak aside the lapping waves. Dreaming of the morning sun when propane flames will pop, sizzling bacon and eggs will fill the nose, and percolated coffee fills the cup. And
yeah. That's number one, huh? Yeah.
I would say, like,
you know,
what I was talking about earlier, the whole auto rank thing and stuff like that. I don't know how many 10s I got this year. Like, I had several tens, which I guess I could have just done that too, just went through all the tens, because it was several. So I get what you mean by doing that. But I also think it's funny that the one that it picks is one that has, like, several aspects of food. Like, it's going to have s'mores, eggs and bacon, all of that. But I know, it, like, this kind of makes me think of when I worked at a camp over the summer. Like, oftentimes the first week of camp, every single time we had a different camp, we'd always started out with having hot dogs around the fire, having s'mores for the kids. So this kind of, like, brought back that memory of my own year, especially, like, you describing it, like, the marshmallows turning golden brown and then the chocolate melting. Like, that just made me a little hungry, even though I'm not hungry at all right now. But yeah, I like your description for everything, especially, like, bringing up, like, the morning sun and then, like, those, like, brisk cold mornings after you've gone, like, camping or something like that, and then you turn on a fire and then you have, like, eggs and bacon and stuff like that. Like, you bring a lot of visual and a lot of memories that I had growing up too. So I think this is a great pick, 2022.
Thanks.
Hatter, would you like to say a few words? Probably a lot of words.
My mom invented s'mores. I've never been camping, and she let me believe that too. You know, it was hard convincing my friends. No, my mom, man. Hey, baby. The auto rank, top of my list are Riding Mountain Cucumbers and Blue Bottom Girls. So, this is very good. Number one in your auto rank, huh? Was it a 10?
No, it is a 10. The number one in my auto rank was actually the one where I killed Willy Wonka, but that one was one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. Well, very good, man.
Great comment, Hatter. Now I'm curious of what that killing Willy Wonka is. I'm going to have to go back on your page, Steven, because now I'm curious. AP, would you like to make a comment?
Yeah, I would. I think the thing to me about this poem was just the sounds, Stephen. Like you could, you get that sense of the crickets. Okay, they start, and the crisp leaves, and the crackle of the campfire, and the bullfrogs, and then the sizzling bacon eggs, and then the percolated coffee. There's just the sounds. And you know, you do words normally in poems, and that works really well. But I just love the sort of homely sort of feel of the sounds in the poem.
Thank you, AP.
Great comment, AP. I know, I agree. Like I said, it was a lot of visual sounds, kind of like things coming to life. Like you can hear the crackling of the fire, or the sizzling of the eggs and bacon, or so. Hearing the crickets and things. There's a lot of sounds in there. Well, thank you, Stephen, for bringing that. I know you said you have to read and run, but do you want to plug a few shows before you go?
Sure. Yeah. See, our next show is Friday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. Sorry, Crystal, you'll be at work.
Won't be. I'm off that day. Continue.
It's my New Year's party a day early because I have to work so late on New Year's Eve. Just bring a poem about New Year's, just come and have some fun. And of course, that night is also here at a Team of Voices, me and Hatter at 11 p.m., the Man Cave. Come and just have fun with it. We know things. And then, but the Mortuary of Shadows is next Monday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, and that is a new local legends show, Dark Local Legends of the State of Pennsylvania. That even includes a hotel where I think Edgar Allan Poe is going to often. Check that out.
All right, well, awesome. I love hearing all of that. And I'm also curious of the show of Edgar Allan Poe. That one's cool. yeah, thanks, Nathan, for coming by and everything and bringing your poem.
Thank you. Yeah, everybody have a good night. I'm off to bed.
All right, see you then.
Bye, Stephen.
See you there.
Good night.
All right, let me go ahead and see. Oh, APSL, did you drop the poem on the board?
I did, Crystal, because I'm sitting in the foyer of the hospital in my hospital gown with my walker still. I am going to get out tomorrow.
Oh, good.
So good. They're letting me go tomorrow afternoon. But I am still officially in hospital, and I should really probably get back to the ward, all things being equal, since that's where they count you and stuff.
I posted yours up.
I was going to say, which one did you want to read?
I was going to put Pumpkins by the Way, but technically it's actually more than a year old, so I can't read it. I love it, but I can't read it. I should have done it last year. So I thought it was a lot, but just goes to show how quickly time goes, because I sort of looked at it, thought, that can't be 12 months. I thought, Jesus, it's 15. Anyway, so I read that. So I've changed my mind, Crystal, and I'm going to read Those Swans again, if that's okay.
Okay. Whenever you're ready.
So Banjo Patterson did a wonderful poem called Black Swans. It's my second favourite Banjo poem. And so I attempted to copy his cadence, and we'll see how we go. This is Those Swans again, and it goes a little bit like this. Clamours they echo forth from well down the way as a brace of swans dance past me as one. Flying with ardour, their pinions in full sway, fixed eyes held fast into the horizon spun. With wings fierce beating to clouds tying, raised trail distant while by eve spying ahead, their destination is lying outwards where rivers curl, beyond the sun. Head this phalanx pushes into darkest grey, fly striving to where western slopes peer. Ignoring the streaming sun's rapid decay, they approach darkness with stars near. Left well behind cities, remnants fighting with screams, as intentions fighting, toils releasing into lands delighting, near the wide grey waters, miles from here. Below armies tend to the grain, still young eyes on green shoots, husks not yet shed. Slouching under hats, their troubles slung between drying winds, a sunset left bled. For long gone, those pink tendrils tiring, silent the chill of eve, skies conspiring, not long till heat, as the fires desiring to bake in orange coals by a warming thread. Until, with harvesting done, swans return east towards cities and coastlines beat a retreat. Soon we'll be cooking those mighty feasts while choirs in my glory psalms repeat. Gathered the years, harvest now drying to a population sustenance supplying. Again the phalanx are within tying this land to a bounty as sure as moon's beat. End poem.
You know, as you were reading, I was just thinking in my head, and which I was really getting into the poem, but I was like, I really need to listen to this and stuff like that, because I feel like you're going to pull this on Pick Mac Poe. Pull this one up, and we all think it's a banjo poem.
Exactly.
Oh, you did?
What I did?
Okay.
Crystal. This was the Pick Mac Poe poem. So this was the stanza from that, so that's another reason I chose it.
Okay, I was going to say, I don't remember if this is the one that me and Hatter did or not. I can't remember. But
Yep, it was.
I'm terrible, then. I've already forgotten lines. It sounded familiar a little to me, but I was just thinking maybe I just
knew the band. No, it's deliberately chosen, yes.
Okay, I won't stand in the corner embarrassed now. Okay. But, no, I love the way you did with all this, though. And as someone who really enjoys, like, different kinds of birds and stuff like that, I like that you chose this one, because I think of that as just a very delicate animal, a very delicate bird. So when I'm thinking, like, in a metaphor kind of way, like, almost like things could be falling down or breaking, and just sometimes things. I don't know why that kind of just went through my head through all this, but I think you used that for a good metaphor and everything. And the part that I like the silence of the chill of Eve's guys conspiring. I like that the silence, the chill. There's almost, I don't know, I just really liked that line. Or to bake in orange coals by a warming thread. Because I can just imagine, like, fire and everything. Like, it's very good visual. So I think you did a great job with this.
Thank you.
All right. And before I start getting comments, I have two people. I know one of them is Jay, and I've already let him in. So hi, Jay.
Hi. Hello. You got to go out and drink
like
the water.
I was talking about earlier with Steven that I hadn't heard his voice in a while. I feel like I haven't heard Jay's voice, and I don't know when.
Yeah, I know. I've been so busy concentrating on getting my surgery for my shoulder and then the recovery time, which I'm still in. So I've been very, very busy doing all that lately.
Oh, well, that's understandable. Like I said, I've had a very busy year myself. Like, I've done shows for a Team of Voices, and I occasionally call in the Team of Voices shows and occasionally call in on other shows, but it's very rare because I've just had, like, one thing after another. So I think we've all just kind of had our own difficult year.
Yep. Right,
the next number I don't recognize, 907.
This is Liquid Damage in Alaska.
Okay. I kind of recognized it, but then
hey,
I kind
Linda.
Of didn't recognize it. So I was making sure.
Hey, everybody.
Hi, Linda. Good to hear you.
Hi. All
right, so I'm going to go ahead and start comment for AP's poem. Hatter, do you want to say something?
Yeah, man, you could pick any line in this poem. AP, you said you were concentrated on the Benjamin Patterson rhyme.
Yeah, I was on the rhyme scheme and the cadence, Hatter. I was just trying to pick that up from Black Swans. Yeah,
it stuck very well. I noticed you do what I do. You start out with the longer lines, and they eventually get a little shorter.
Yeah. Seems to work better that way, though, interestingly. From a cadence perspective, you go longer and then shorter, it works. It sounds better, yeah.
It does. Yeah, I thought it was very well done.
No, thank you.
Great comment, Hatter. Hatter probably doesn't even remember that poem either from Tic Tac Toe. Oh, well.
Is it? Oh, really? This is one?
Yes.
Yes, that's what I just said earlier. I forgot it, too.
I spent a lot of time on that one.
It sounded familiar, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Jay, did you get a chance to hear AP's poem?
Oh, absolutely. I thought the rhyme scheme was quite clever. I like the A-B, A-B, C-C-C, B, then D-E-G-E, C-C-C-E. You kept on going back to tying in that the fifth, sixth, and seventh lines back into each other and keeping that rhyme scheme all the way through the four stanzas, which I think is just wonderful to do. And I feel, being a person that grew up kind of on the outside of a city, just in the shadow of Minneapolis, and seeing all the birds that were there, and then feeling that this not only talks about the nature of things, but also brings in the city aspect of it, like the adaptation of these animals to actually turn some of this area into their habitat. And I feel that mixed within there, but an overall message that kind of ties into us as a people too, about about surviving and about overcoming. And there's just a little bit more to this message than the words themselves, on face value show. And I think that is a wonderful way to put everything. And I really like how it's blended together.
Thank you, Jack.
Great comment, Jack. Linda, did you get a chance to hear AP's poem?
I didn't, but I've been reading it, and it's very lovely. And, when I was young, my great aunt owned a very prestigious motor home park in Palo Alto, California. I think it's still one of the most prestigious motor home parks there is. And she had a man-made lake with a bunch of swans, but she had a whole bunch of swans on the lake. And we'd go down there in the evening, and to see them do their water dance, like flying on and gliding on the top of the water, was an amazing sight. And this brings back that movement and play and the operatic motion of their little dance there. But I really appreciate the writing in this. And yes, the rhyme scheme is spectacular, AP. You really went out of your way concocting this piece. Well done. I really like it. Thank you, AP, for sharing it.
Thanks, Linda. Thank you.
Can I ask one question to AP? You guys have black swans down there, don't you?
Yes, we do. Yes. Yes, we do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
We don't have them up here, so that's something we don't see up here, but it's super cool to know that they are down there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, they're brilliant. Just jet black and yellow eyes. Quite amazing.
I had two black swans on Chicken Mountain, Australian black swans.
Yeah.
Cantankerous little things. have
anyway,
attitude.
But no,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Excuse me.
Well, thank you, AP, for bringing that poem and everything.
Thank
and
you.
I know that you're going through everything in the hospital right now. I can't. I didn't know how long you were going to stay, but yeah. But thank you for bringing that.
Yeah, look, as I said, out tomorrow. I've been here just over a week, well ready to go home at this stage.
I don't blame you. Luckily, never had to stay in a hospital overnight, but I can understand.
No. Well, a week's more than enough. Talk soon. Okay, bye, everybody.
Take care.
Bye.
Get better.
All right. Linda or Jay, are either one of you in a time crunch or no? Are we good to...
Yeah, I don't have a lot of time, but I'm not like, we got to go right now.
I put yours up, Linda.
Oh, okay.
No, that's not hers. Hers is, she's liquid damage.
Oh, yep, grabbed the wrong one. Well, okay, good spot.
I was running to the board, too, because I was like, and I looked, I was like, wait, that's not right. Right, I gotcha. I got it on there now.
There we go.
Oh, do you? Okay, you got it? Cool.
Yeah.
Got it.
This is one of my favorite poems. It talks about love conquering all evil, and it's called Love Soup. In the midst of the forest, there was a large stream. On one side I lived, the other a dream. There were lilies and jasmine all smelling so sweet, and luscious raspberries, a good forest treat. Now over the stream where the daffodils grow is a cool little bridge where the water flows slow. Fuchsias and fern grow all around, while clover and moss cover the ground. The beauty that grew there was really so great, but under the bridge lived an ogre named Hate. Now, Hate had decided the bridge was all his, and why we weren't welcome was none of our biz. So he had a sign that read, "All you keep out," and if you came near, he would scream and he'd shout. He'd shout, "If I catch you, you'll wish you were dead, because I'll pull your eyes right out of your head." So Hate spent his days spewing his gripe, and some, I recall, believed in his hype. It seemed like the forest was growing quite dark because of that Hate, whose tongue was quite sharp. But then came the day when Hate got real sick. His temperature spiked and his tongue grew quite thick. He coughed all the while and his nose oozed out snot. He had a bad rash and he farted a lot. This made Hate sad and he started to cry. Then he got scared that soon he would die. Now this is the part where the story gets good. Well, I'll find my dream if I do what I should. So then my heart said, to cure Hate, give him love. So I sat and I prayed to my God up above. Please, dear Lord, won't you give me a sign if the duty to cure Hate is really all mine? And the Lord said to me, child, the duty is yours, but all who are near must open their doors. Let your heart lead and give Hate your love. Then singing rang out from the angels above. So I brought Hate love soup, which he slurped right on down, then gave him some aspirin he took with a frown. Why do you help me? I'm Hate. I am mean. I'm the baddest ogre you've ever seen. Well, I have some love that I wanted to give to help you feel better, so better you'll live. And with that, the ogre started to shout, but only the sound of love would come out. So from then on, Hate was taken with love, and so now they both pray to their God up above. The moral? When Hate rules the bridge that leads to your dream, give love a try and conquer your stream. In peace.
Yes.
Ugh. So Lennon, Lennon-ish.
Yeah, Linda, I love this. I love this so much. I mean, to me, the way that it comes out, it kind of makes me think of like a children's story, something that you would kind of read to a child of an ogre living under a bridge, and a lot of times that is kind of what it really is, like just giving out love. Because I know, like where I work around a lot of people, and a lot of times, especially around Christmas, we have gotten a lot of Grinches, and you just try and do your best to like ask them like how they're doing, just try and talk to them. And sometimes you'll actually get a smile out of them. And when I do, I'm like, I'm so happy because I'm just like, I want to show people like, hey, there's somebody out there. Even if I don't know you, stranger, like I'm still going to give love out
right
to you.
On.
Exactly. Right on. But I feel like this poem kind of shows that, well, of course, the moral, that's what it shows, that giving love a try. I will say that I did laugh like a child. He said he coughed a while and his nose oozed out snot. He had a bad rash and he farted a lot. I will not. I will admit I'm dying laughing because I did not expect that. I did not expect that at all. But I feel like, again, if you'd read this to a child, they would really like that part and probably maybe take that part
right.
more out than the love.
That made him sad. Yeah, and that made him sad.
Yeah, this is a great read, and I can understand why it's one of your favorites. I also do love writing story poems. I haven't done it in a while, but I always love reading other people. So I think this is a great. I'm probably going to add this to a list of mine because it is really, really good. You already have several people on it.
Thank you.
Yeah, the story
is really much.
Hatter, do you want to comment some more?
Yeah, this is a story you read to your kids at night. not a nursery rhyme, but a fable. Is that what it is? A story. When Hay owns the bridge. It's a beautiful thought. It was so well done. I was blown away the first time I heard it, and just as much the second time.
Right on. Thanks, Hatter.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Great comment, Hatter. And Jay, what was your comment?
This is brilliant. This is stinking brilliant. I think the whole thing, that first stanza just jumped out at me, and it set up the entire poem from there. In the midst of the forest, there was a large stream. On one side I lived, the other a dream. So in order to get to your dream, you had to work your way past the hate. And the only way that you could work your way past the hate was with love. And the way that you brought it together, the cadence, the rhyme scheme, and the cleverness behind it, I think it just captures the attention of people, and it's something that they want to read all the way through because they want to know what comes next. And I think that this is a beautiful, beautifully written piece with a strong, strong moral, and you did a fantastic job putting this together.
Wow, thanks, Jay.
Great comment. And thank you, Linda, for bringing that. I definitely like that. I definitely see it being a gem from the year. It's a beautiful read.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right. I still have several poems to get through. I have several SoundClouds, so I think I might go ahead and do one of those real quick. What do I want to do first? I think we'll have a little bit of some Laughing Soul. I feel like she's going to bring something really nice. Home of a Shooting Star. All right, now I've just got to find her SoundCloud in this long list. Maybe I'll be lucky and it'll just show up. No, it's not just showing up. Okay. I got to scroll. I believe Dead Air and the World are all my clothes. I put them in one spot and
you need it posted to the show.
Yeah, I have all of them on here and they're always I found them. Or I think I found them. No, I didn't. Wow. Well, while your host tries to find your SoundCloud, you guys can talk to me. Wait, never mind, we're good. We got it. I eventually found them. All right, here is Laughing Soul.
Home of the Shooting Star, a story by Laughing Soul. I saw her burn the oil lamp for light as I strolled past by on my walk that night. A little playful boy by her side who questioned her, why does God not gift us a star for our hut when he has so many lit up there twinkling bright? She looked at him and smiled, but she knew she couldn't get away not answering him. He looked at her with brooding hazel eyes. Seemed he was waiting for her something magical to say. I couldn't curtail my curiosity as I watched this innocent play. My feet seemed fixed to the ground as I wondered, how would she satiate his naive query? I stood there beside the banyan tree without making any noise, for in no means did I want to miss this beautiful story. She lifted her bundle of joy and came out a little in the open. Just then a shooting star illuminated the cobalt sky, and the little boy started clapping and shouting gleefully, "See, Ma, God has sent us a star." She immediately reciprocated in the same tone of excitement and told him, "Yes, son, let's go find it." She walked towards the bushes behind and picked up a firefly. They took it home in her sari and she left it loose in the hut. The boy was dancing joyfully, and then he asked, "When will this tiny star grow big?" She took him closer to the mirror and inclined the hanging lamp a little to reflect the light. She told her boy to see his eyes in the mirror, and seeing them sparkling like the firefly, he was over the top. I heard him ask, "Ma, how come there are stars in my eyes?" And that's when she sang him this lullaby. Riches we have none, my son, but we do have dreams, and just like those stars above, in our eyes they gleam. A lamp I shall burn, my son, every night for thee, till you've grown into a man, and your stars shine brighter than moonbeams. With this, she put him to sleep with a dream tucked away in the pillow for keep, and I, left with this warm glow within me, a home is truly lit with love, however dreary it may seem. End quote.
Beautiful.
Just applauding, wow. But I feel like I would do that too. I find it odd how we've already had like some story poems, and but I know like a lot of times those can be very much loved by many people. Because when you are writing poetry, you're already telling a story, but then if you have a story within a story, I don't even know if that makes sense, but it can make it so much more beautiful, especially with this. And I can say I started almost kind of tearing up a little bit when he was looking into the mirror, and he's like, "Mom, why do I have stars in my eyes?" And I was like, oh, how beautiful is that? And a lot of the times when you do see that gleam in somebody's eye, and then sometimes it seems like that gleam is gone, and then you're trying to just spark that star up again, and often that can happen. Like sometimes dreams get destroyed, and it's so sad. But then you'll have another dream, and you'll see that gleam in the eye again, and it's a beautiful thing to see. So I think she did a beautiful, beautiful job with this, and it's definitely something I would want to hear over and over again and read over and over again, because it brings warmth and joy to your heart. So I think, Laughing Soul, you did an amazing job with this, and thank you for bringing it to the show. Hatter, what did you think about it?
Yeah, I loved this. The whole storyline. It went on a list. You can pick anything in here. I'm surprised I don't remember reading this before, so it got by me. This is very good. She did the different characters when she was reading the little girl's voice. She did that very well, very convincing. Yeah, the firefly in my eyes.
Great comment, Heather. Yeah, the firefly in the eyes. I like how she phrased that too. Jay, what did you think?
I felt like we were a bunch of kids sitting in a library listening to the librarian go ahead and read us a story from a book and show us the pictures, flip them over. And that's kind of what it was. It felt like an actual story that someone was telling, where you could actually see the pictures behind it. And I think it was so well done with that. She did a great job with that.
Whenever you brought up that comment about sitting in the library listening to, that was one of my favorite things as a child, because I remember there was a few times to the librarian, she let me pick out a book, and then I got so excited to do that. That kind of brought back a memory of that. Awesome comment. Linda, what's your comment?
Bravo, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. This narrative is so delightful that I'm just astounded. What a magical story she has told here with so much love in her heart. Her voice depicts every ounce of love and sweetness that she envelops in this wonderful story. I just love this to death. I want to thank Soul personally for reading this to us. And yeah, like Jay said, it's like sitting in a library listening to the librarian read the story. And it was very sweet. Thank you, Soul.
Awesome comment, Linda. And thank you, Laughing Soul, for being there. So what I'm going to do next is I'm going to do another one that has a recording. I'm going to do Phil the Poet. And then after that, Jay, I'm gonna put yours up for you to read. So
right.
Every Phil, I'm going to go ahead and hit play because I at least have all of my SoundClouds in front of me now.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Winter is Coming. Winter is coming dressed in pure white, where the day is overwhelmed by night, riding an ebony charger with icicle breath, frozen by the cold stare of approaching death, frost-bitten fingers tapping upon the window, cynostic features of azure begins to glow, the cold chills of nature's final dying breath, shivers at the silent steps of approaching death, laying like a fallen angel in the virgin snow. The world is empty except for a wingless crow, pecking at the glacier eyes of liquid summer, where the hail pelts the earth like a rabid scunner. No one dares to tread the paths in the dark. All have forgotten the voice of the morning lark, lost in a world of self-doubt and bitter memories, while wandering amongst the ice-kissed cemeteries. Winter is coming, and the earth shivers to the core. The east wind blows, rattling the hinges of the door. For time has arrived for someone to take a final breath, tasting the bittersweet kiss of approaching death. End poem.
I can say that definitely with when I heard like winter is coming, I was thinking of everybody always makes that joke like winter is coming, like you'll hear something like that. But then when you get into reading his, like one thing I'm going to say is his recording, you can really hear like emotion in his voice. And I feel like that added to it, because oftentimes you read something and hearing somebody's actual voice reading their own work, you can often hear the emotion in it or like feel more of a connection to it because of that. I love lying like a fallen angel in the virgin snow. The world is empty except for a wingless crow. I love that, lying like a fallen angel, like the way that he phrased that and everything. Really beautiful. Yeah, there's just a lot of like dark aspects to this, but kind of a bit of a sad tone, but like I said, it's really beautiful. Like when you hear somebody say a beautiful, sad poem, and it's kind of like no one wants to read anything sad, but you need those dark kind of feelings just to kind of let everything out and everything. So I think he did that here, especially ending, tasting the bittersweet kiss of an approaching death, like very dark. And I love that. Great job, Phil, and thank you for bringing it to my show. I'll start again at the top. Hatter, what are your thoughts? Unmuted, Hatter. I'm unmuted.
I love the part, lost in a world of self-doubt and bitter memories while wandering amongst the ice-kissed cemeteries. It sort of hits on the, where it's really cold. If you were to pass away in the winter, you're sort of saved until you're not buried till spring when the ground thaws out. What was the other part? Tasting the bittersweet kiss of approaching death. Very powerful. See, this is somebody that knows the cold.
true. Great comment, Heather. And Jay, your comment?
Yeah, this is, you know, living here, and I'm sure Linda living up in Alaska and me living here in Wisconsin, we understand what winter brings. This year brought intense snow. And when you look at stages of life, there are times that you have different seasons in your life. And there are times that you feel that you're in this state of winter, the state of things that are dying and things that are hurting. And at times, the only thing you're hoping for is the spring to come. And it's like you feel that this is going to go on and on and on, and that the next step is death. But in reality, it just may be the step to a new spring where some new blossoms happen. But that's what I see within this. This is both relatable for me in the physical and in the metaphorical. And I really like the way Phil brought this.
Comment. And Linda, your comment?
Yeah, this is like a lovely piece, jam-packed with beautiful wintry imagery. I like that because, like Jay said, being in Alaska, we know what winter's all about, and it's beautiful. But this also was outlined with a wonderful wintry metaphor, talking about how it brings death. It does, in a beautiful way, it brings death. But I think his reading of this was outstanding. Phil's got this kind of cool little accent to his voice that makes things sound so beautifully done. And everything Phil reads is just beautiful. He's so charismatic in his writing that it blows me away sometimes. He brings out the best of every word that he puts down on paper. So, Phil, thank you very much for sharing this piece. I really enjoyed it.
Great comment, Linda. And thank you, Phil, again, for the poem. It was an excellent one. Especially to the year. All right, Jay, I have your poem on the board. Whenever you're ready to read, you can go ahead.
All right. I kind of have to get myself a little bit in the mood, but this is called The River. I've delved into spoken word a little bit over the year, so let's give this a try. Hand rings the shirt collar once more. I was an amethyst blue face sucking water, floating, bloating cadaver. Croaking cadaver, drowning in the river, I found me, spit from my mother's living womb. The hand pulled me from cyanosis, prognosis, death before the wounded river meets the ocean, sipping on the Canadian Club potions, invisible child faded in the desert nights. Strip clubs in the heavy metal, blackouts in the accelerator pedal. I floated without the rudder, going under, hearing the thunder. Lungs were the gutter. Ears rang on the fringe, firing range. The sun, the rain, the cranbox of pain, coloring the river in shades insane. Gunmetal gray above my father's grave, tan sand, where my buddy hit the Arabian land, aquamarine lake my brother cancer did take, ivy garden green my mother I still see, and yellow. Yellow, the tape around the accident, not my daughter. Yes, my daughter. Rivers twist around the granite boulders, ripping the olive skin bruises within, holding death's hand again and again. But what is the hand that rescues me from death's honey-kissing deity while grinding the flesh and peeling my face, finding the solace in my own disgrace, naked and rapids bleed in the depths, finding the waterfalls falling from steps? Will I recognize when late is too late, or will the toe tag read, "Do not resuscitate"? Poem.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. I could really imagine you, Jay, like going to one of those spoken word poetry nights things. Like, I could see it going up there and reciting this. I think I once stepped into spoken word, sort of. It's never exactly been my forte. Maybe I should try it somewhere. Maybe that'll be a goal for 2023. So. But I think that you did an amazing, amazing job with this. Like, I was just like every line, stuff like that, I was just intrigued more and more. And then your voice kind of just like went up and up and up and up. Like, it got more and more powerful. Because I love the ending. But what is the hand that rescues me from death's honey kiss? And I'm grinding the flesh and peeling my face, finding the souls in my own disgrace, naked and rapid, bleeding death. Finding the waterfalls. Yeah, I loved reading all of that. But, like, you just, like, every line just kept getting deeper and more powerful. And, like, I was into it. And I also love the way that you started it, too, bringing in about the yellow and the amethyst blue and things like that. It really, really, like, was kind of full of color and emotion, and you could just feel the depth of pain. In every single line, so it's an incredible piece.
Thank you, I appreciate it.
Hatter, your comment?
Yeah, the verse that stands out to me is the strip clubs with the heavy metal blackouts and the accelerator pedal that floated without the rudder going under, hearing the thunder, lungs were together. This is you guys, when you said spoken word, you mean like rants?
I have a few of them, yeah. I've done a few rants, but mine are more life lessons, life stories. They're kind of going around and making people feel.
Yeah. Okay. Very well done.
Thank you.
I think we all have a few rant poems. I know I do. That's the thing about poetry. You write it out to get everything out. So sometimes you need that. Linda, what did you think of Jay's poem?
Yeah, Jay, wow. This really touched my heart. To hear your pain in every line was a lot to handle. I'm astounded by the effortless reading of this. It was just really awesome, awesome piece for you to handle so much pain in your life and be able to write about it, even under a rant, is pretty awesome. But yeah, I really like this piece. Thanks for sharing it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Comment, Linda. And thank you, Jay, for bringing it. I'm glad that you've stepped into something different, like spoken poetry. And I think you're good at it.
Thanks. I think I wrote 10 over the year, something like that. There's a few of them.
All right. So I've got probably about 4 or 5 poems left. Somewhere in there. We're in the halftime right now. Hatter, I have your poem on the board whenever you're ready to.
Okay. Get over there. Yeah, this is one I chose, I think, probably equals my best of the year. Writing coded soliloquies. I speak of things I do not know and those places I've never been, writing coded soliloquies and selling little sins. Keeping low and in disguise, no one knows that me is I, fighting crimes I see fit, acting like a hypocrite. Talking down from an upstairs room, dancing with the blood-red moon. Being here with you right now seems to be okay somehow. The eyes will tell what kind of spell would keep me in the dark, selling bags of curiosity as it appears to fall apart. Walking towards a full-out run to think of things I might have done, never really looking back, wondering where the hell I'm at. I speak of things I do not know and places I've never been, writing coded soliloquies and selling little sins. In poem.
Oh, wow. You know, we were just talking about Jay's poem being kind of spoken word. I don't know if I was just maybe still on Jay's as a spoken word, but I kind of feel like you did a little the same thing, Hatter. Or maybe it was kind of like we were talking about before, as a little bit of a rant, or kind of, not really a rant, but like really writing things out. Like sometimes of how you feel. Keeping it low and in disguise, no one knows that me is I. Fighting crime as I see fit, acting like a hypocrite. I liked how that kind of came together. Your rhyme was excellent in this. The other thing I love, taking down from upstairs room, dancing with a blood red moon. Blood red moon, that's freaking cool. But yeah, I like how you did this and stuff. There's like a bit of darkness, and then you got that story and that deep emotion and feeling through it and stuff and everything. And like I said, with the rhyme just really kind of nailed it in there.
Right.
Which I know Hatter's king of rhyme, but I think you did a good job.
Thank you.
Jay, what did you think?
Well, this is a great poem as far as kind of like a self-introspective of the mask that people wear in public. You know, they like pretend to be someone they're not, pretend to be that Superman or that Wonder Woman that they're really not. And the images that they want people to think like they are when they know who they really are inside and what they feel inside. And I see that in a hauntingly way. And the way that you put it, I love that beginning and ending stanza. I speak of things I do not know in places I've never been, writing coded soliloquies and selling little sins. You know, and the lies that we tell ourselves in order to make ourselves feel better, it's described throughout the wording here, and I think that is incredibly put together. Fighting crime as I see fit, acting like a hypocrite, you know, pretty much trying to make yourself someone you're not. And I think that is quite an amazing way to put that in this poetic form and the rhyme scheme. And I think it is a very relatable thing among many people who live, practically almost everybody, unless we really take a look at ourselves and start to appreciate and love who we are. And we go in that general direction of learning to accept who we are in order to kind of paint the real picture going forward in front of other people, taking off our masks and becoming who we really are. I think this is wonderfully put together.
Yeah, thank you. It's so like you wanted to know who I am, so here it is. You wanted to know, damn it. It was self-evaluation.
Yeah. And I'm the person who pretty much has been walking around, and people don't realize who I really am. Yeah.
And great comment, Jay. And Linda, what was your comment?
I think this is a so smoothly written piece by Hatter. And talk about cadence and rhyme, Hatter. You have mastered it in this piece. I really liked when you first wrote this, as I do today. And it's like a really fun piece in a sad way. The way it kind of bounces makes it seem like it's all fun and games, but what it speaks of is kind of serious. So I like that it was kind of a twist on the cadence and the flow made it seem fun, but it was really about serious stuff. I like that. That takes a real master to do that. So, Hatter, thank you for sharing this piece. Again, I will never get tired of hearing it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yes.
Awesome comment, Linda. And thank you, Hatter, for bringing that poem. Like I said, I can see it being a very deep emotion for the year. And I have Titus's, and then I have about four more poems. This one I just put on the board is Titus's, which he also has a SoundCloud for. Go ahead and hit play.
A still life version, no less. From so shallow roots and soil so sparse, an orchid, for whom her inner goodness did not have love to await her under glass. Sleeping beauty, a still life version, no less. How far from deep within can all those dreams we've made when in fact time was against all the odds, when into flower, the things love is wary of what happens next. Scent sepals open with delight to all apparels, the opulent deluge of honey as it trickles. Consent shows beauty resting on its laurels, pistols of lead to be palpitating ventricles. Had my life depended on my missing out, her opening her eyes that night, I've died many times before. I could see so devout, like virgin oil. Honey slavers do coincide.
Well, for one, I love this picture. Kind of those beautiful pink and yellow flowers kind of just bring it together. But I also like, I think it's in the middle somewhere, all the odds when turned to a flower that seems love is weary and what happens next sense. I think as many people have heard it so many years now, I'm not the biggest fan on flowers, but I love writing about them. And I like that he brought that in here with that. But he also just kind of brought a sweetness, especially her opening her eyes that night. I've died so many times, they see. But yeah, I think... he brought such a sweet feeling and a loving feeling and things like that, and definitely very poetic. But I know that from Titus, that he's a very poetic person. Yeah, I always enjoy getting his SoundClouds as well. So I think he did a lovely job with this. And Titus, thank you for bringing the poem tonight. Hatter.
Unmute. Yeah, unmuted. Yeah, Titus never lets us down. I love the last verse. Had my life depended on my missing out. That's a great line, poetic line. For opening her eyes that night, I've died. Very, very strong words together. Nicely done.
Comment, Hatter. And your comment?
I think that the beauty behind this, I love the use of the orchid in a flower in describing and using it as far as a metaphor in love. It not only takes the metaphor of love, but also puts a slight sensuality upon it too, which I think is just an overlying within this poem. You know, I'm originally from Minnesota, and Minnesota's state flower is the lady slipper. And lady slipper is the only northern orchid that there is. And I think that that is a neat thing to use as that metaphor because orchids, they don't have much roots. They are like, they grow in the dead soil, but they create such beauty within, from all that mulch and wherever they grow. And they'll pretty much grow anywhere they want, especially, you know, when you're talking in the rainforest, you can have a little puddle inside of a tree and you'll find an orchid growing inside of there, which I think is fabulous. But overall, I think it's a beautiful, beautiful all-around metaphor contained within it. I think you did a wonderful job.
Great comment, Jay. And Linda, your comment?
Yeah, this is, what a lovely, sweet piece of art Titus has written. He's written a masterpiece again over. To use Sleeping Beauty as the backdrop to this poem was brilliant and sweet, and what a lovely story. And he just made the finer points of it kind of pulsate out of the storyline, and he just, it's unbelievable how he can do this. He always has such an eloquent way of writing, and his context that he writes about is serious, but it has a magical undertone to it, and I like that about his stuff. It's always so intelligently written, but has that magical mystical theme to it. So Titus, thank you very much for sharing this piece. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Wonderful comment, Linda. And
thank you again
for bringing this. Linda, I was wondering if you would read for Heavenly Angel. I have her poem on the board.
Sure. Get over there. This is called The Perfect Storm by Heavenly Angel. A ball of frayed lightning crawls across the blue and eggplant sky, almost like a worm inching along the ground, setting the night ablaze like the cherry red end of a lit cigarette. Standing at the end of the dock, my hand in yours, I reflect on how deeply I love you. Bats crazy in love, I dare not even attempt to measure the depth, breadth. You're the candle that lights my darkness, the path to find my way. If and when I feel lost, the sun sinks, day yawns, and return for home in peace.
Great read. This I love the picture for one, because you got all the blues, the purples, the pinks, everything in this. Those kind of skies are always beautiful, and you see them like after it rains, and I always love seeing that. I love that she brings out the color, the blue and eggplant sky. I like how she did that. The part that I love the most, though, is towards the end. You're the candle that lights my darkness, the path that finds my way, and if and when I feel lost. I mean, I think we all, whether it's romantic or not, which I know Heavenly Angel usually goes in a romantic way, and I do feel like this is a very romantic poem, but whether it doesn't have to be romantic or not, we always have somebody that's some kind of candle that lights the way and things like that, and I try to be the best candle I can be in people's lives. I know sometimes I can be kind of dim, but I like that metaphor that she uses with the candle, though, lighting my darkness, and she often does bring out the most beautiful love poems that you'll ever read. So, and this is definitely a beautiful brevity that she brought, and I enjoyed it. So thank you, Heavenly Angel, for bringing this. And I love it. It's beautiful. I'm going to switch things up. Linda, you read it. How about you leave a comment?
Yeah, this is an enchanting piece with beautiful colors to enhance its wondrous heart. And yes, I agree. Heavenly Angel writes the most beautiful love poems that I think I read on all poetry. She's just so in depth. I mean, when you read her piece, your heart just goes, oh my gosh, what a lovely poem. And I feel that way every time I hear one of her pieces. She's very artistic about the way she explains love, and that is a rare thing in poetry. I love the color that she puts in it as well. That just brings out the background of the love, and I really appreciate Heavenly Angel's writing. So thank you, Angel. You are the best. Thank you for sharing.
Wonderful comment. And Jay, what did you think?
You know, when I was a kid, we used to have a lake cabin in northern Minnesota. No lights around the cabin, you know, on the outside of the cabin, really. And I would go down on our dock, the right between the boats, and I'd brave the mosquitoes, and I'd lay down back looking up at the stars, and I could see the line of the edge of the Milky Way, and it was just one of the most spectacular things in the world. And the way that this is brought together, and I think that the coloration guy, I would have never thought of that. I think that was an amazing line. And then making a worm sound romantic. How about that? Almost like a worm inching along the ground, talking about the lightning. I think that is so incredible when you can take things that aren't considered in a particular genre and melt it into that genre and make it sound beautiful. I think that is fantastic. And who doesn't know what that cherry red end of a cigarette looks like at night? It's just something that all of this is so relatable. All of this is relatable. All of this is where many of us would like to be. We have been in the past. We find it different. And once again, Angel has brought an amazing love poem out for us, and I think she did wonderful. And the sun sinks, day yawns, and we turn for home. It's almost like
they're turning into each other and looking at each other in the face, and there they find home themselves. Love this.
Yeah, I've been thinking about it with the whole worm thing. I thought of it for a brief second, but until you brought that up, I didn't think about it again. Great comment, Jay. And Hatter, what did you think of Heavenly Angel Poem?
Yeah, JC said it very well. You know, and also, who hasn't at one time been batshit crazy in love? So I thought that was a great line. Yeah, our hallmark poet of the group, very loving. It gives me hope to the world.
Awesome comment. And thank you again, Angel, for bringing that beautiful. So the next poem I have on here is Frank, Poetic Picasso. Again, I have another SoundCloud for him, and I'm going to go ahead and hit play. And then we have a couple more, and then we should be done for the night.
Sparrows sing the sad song of the morning sorrow as the gentle winds brush the petals of the weeping blooms, and a deafening eeriness prevails over the silent voices of yesterday, who once had smelled the sweet powdery scent of the blue bonnets. The essence of the innocence of children is lost to memories within the dewdrops of the falling tears, a mournful mother's, and the warm embrace of the somber fathers nearby, for the regret is that they will never hold their children again. Over the lonesome fields of the rose of yellow roam their souls as they open their wings to fly with the monarch butterflies. When the fresh dawn shines its tangerine color brightly above the tincture of wreaths and ribbons placed upon the hollow playground. Fly away, my beautiful cherubs, unto the depth of the cerulean sky, until you reach the moon and twinkle with the wistful stars. Your nocturnal moonbeams glisten with your dancing shadows as you whisper into the soothing breeze. The echoes of your fading breath gone into the hallowed air. Behold, the awakened sun flung, healing the broken hearts of grief. For the day shall bring the sunshine to remember the young faces of children cry. No more, for the storm shall pass, and so shall the rain. In the poem.
I had thought I heard this poem before. When I first started hearing it, and I looked down and I commented, and I hadn't read it before. this is really beautiful. I can see why he would make it one of his favorites. One, I love that he brings out a bunch of different colors, like about the rose of yellow or the tangerine color, talking about the different color of blue skies and stuff like that, and just kind of bringing out the beauty of sunflowers, because you do often
from like far away, if you see some bright color of yellow, you know it's going to be usually like a sunflower or something like that, or even sometimes a dandelion, but you'll see just a bright color of yellow, and it brings often some type of beauty and joy and brightness. And I like that, just kind of thinking of that, the awakened sunflower, is thinking of after the rain that there'll be growth, that all the things that seem like there once were, and everything that seemed like it was bad at one time often has purpose of bringing something better. So I think that kind of what came to my head when I was thinking of this. But it's really, really beautiful, and I loved hearing it again. So thank you, Frank, for bringing it to my show. I think Linda left. So thank you, Linda, again for coming. Hatter, what did you think of the poem? Unmute, Hatter.
Damn, you'd think I'd learn. Unmuted. I like the verse and the deafening eeriness prevails over the silent voices of yesterday. Beautiful line. Yeah, Frank, he's got a certain way of writing that I just could absolutely wish I could copy. A bit of old school, and I say that with respect. Always good to have Frank Creed. Thank you very much.
Okay, Elvis. Good comment. Jay, what did you think?
Well, where I talked about Angel bringing in the worm and making it look beautiful, this is a very sad poem, yet there's beauty that's intermingled within the sadness. There's all the, you know, sparrows sing the sad song. And I know that the inspiration for this was the school shooting and those children that lost their lives. And that is a very, very difficult subject in itself. But the tragedy is the loss of those children. But within that loss, he puts all these beautiful images out there for us to see. And ultimately, when they're when he's talking about, behold the awakened sunflower healing the broken hearts of grief. You know, eventually, you never do, and this is from experience, you never do fully lose the grief when you lose a child. You never do. It's always there, but you can actually grab a hold of the beauty that they shown in your lives and let that beauty touch you in a way where their memory in itself warms you. And eventually brings you closer to healing.
Powerful comment, Hatter. Okay. Yeah, that really is true. I feel like definitely with a child, I know that it's the hardest, and I know several people that's gone through it as well, and I couldn't even imagine.
Yeah, when I lost my daughter a few years back, that was difficult. That was really difficult. And they're not supposed to go before us. And I often talk to the owner of my work, and one of his sons was kind of one of the, he was like the CEO over there of the place.
and he came down with cancer. Me and Alan talked over that, talked to each other, you know, and the one thing he told me, they're not supposed to go before us. That's what he told me. They're not supposed to go before us. And, you know, life sometimes hands us something different, and we just have to live within their memory and let their smiles and their laughs just bring us those sunflowers that are blossoming.
I was going to say that too. I've heard many people who said that they've lost a child. Like, they've often read afterwards, they're like, why did they have to die? And I think everybody has that, like, every time they lose someone. But I think, like, parents especially, but I've heard, like, eventually as they've grieved and things like that, they bring out the whole thing of they were there for a purpose. And I think often do, like, the children that seem like they have died way too soon, they seem like they were more of a joy to the world, like they were brought here for a purpose. And I'm still never going to understand why they are taken away so young, but at the same time, I can understand the whole they were brought here for a purpose, to bring joy, to bring smiles, to bring laughs to people. And even, like I said, I couldn't imagine. But like I said, I know several people that's lost a child, and I know it's hard.
Oh, this is something I don't want to show. Let me go ahead and get back to being composed. Now in thought. So I have Marius left, and I have my poem left. I did have one other poem, but I don't have their permission to read it. So I'm sorry to, I think their name is Jay Ray, or I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right. I need some kind of permission in order to read your poem on here. And as far as I know, I never got one. Or Deb never got one, is what I mean. So, but yeah. Everybody else's poem has been read. And thank you everybody for bringing them. I put Marius's on the board. I'm already excited because there is a butterfly in the title. Let me go ahead and hit play.
Sun, pour its light onto you to shine your flight, and sky donates all color for your wings. I start to cry at your majestic sight. Secretly, each tear of mine gently springs. Blue flowers tremble at your magic touch. The cardinals stop singing for a bit. Even for them, your beauty is too much. We all in awe, I sincerely admit. Where did you come from, nature noble prince? What wishes do you carry on your wings? Where did you hide all these beautiful things? Why did you leave the lands of queens and kings? I came to you to beautify your spring, to dance with flowers and with birds to sing.
I'm kind of just like mesmerized by the music. I like how the flute and everything in the background or something. I'm not
quite
sure what.
Yeah. A little moody blue.
No, this is beautiful. As someone who cannot write a sonnet to save her life because she's tried for over 8 years, I often do enjoy when I see somebody else write a sonnet,
and I like that you brought this. I love the "Where do you come from, noble nature's noble prince? What wishes do you carry on your wings? Where do you hide all those beautiful tents where you leave the lands of kings and queens?" I love that, "Where do you hide all those beautiful..." You're seeing the beauty of spring, the beauty of nature, and with all its flowers, its butterflies, its grasses, its trees. This is definitely a very beautiful, like, nature kind of poem, and as someone that's normally, well, I think a majority of people write nature. I think sometimes people write more nature than they do love poems. So I think that he brought everything that there is to summon or summarize nature. And it's a beautiful piece. So thank you for bringing it tonight. And Hatter, what did you think?
Yeah, this is very good. That is one of the best. I'm not familiar with a lot of his work, but I love the line, "Blue flowers tremble at your magic touch." You know, he's talking about the butterflies, and they it sort of looks like they are. They go up and touch the flowers. I thought it was well done. Good job.
Great comment. And Jay, what did you think?
This is like, it's like he swept us all off our feet with the way that this was presented, and his voice and the music in the background. It was so just elegant and vivid. And the imagery is just phenomenal. When I used to live in North Carolina, we had two butterfly bushes in front of our house. And those butterfly bushes would be filled with tiger swallowtails and monarchs and a couple of the emperor swallowtails and all the different kinds of other kinds, some blues and some coppers and other types of butterflies. And there is a majesty behind them as they move. And I like how he is not only describing the nature part of it, but he is actually talking and having a conversation with the butterfly itself, in asking it the questions, describing it, saying, "Sun pours its light on you to shine your flight, and sky, don't use all colors for your wings." You know, his audience is pretty much the butterfly, and we're just listening to him talk to the butterfly. And I think that is a wonderful way to present a poem. You know, this is like a soliloquy. It's like a part of a Shakespearean play, where one of the actors just goes off and starts talking to a butterfly, and we're just watching him talk to that butterfly. I think that is a neat little device that he used within this sonnet itself.
Is there a famous poet that writes like that, more soliloquy about nature, that anybody know?
Alvin?
I have to figure it out. That's fine. You know, Banjo does to a point, Banjo Patterson. Frost, would Frost be one?
Oh, yeah, he definitely does. I was about to actually just say him because he's one of my favorite poets. He does write a lot of nature.
Yeah, and
Henry David Thoreau, Walden's Pond.
Thoreau, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one. Well, thank you again to
Marius, for bringing that that poem. And like I said, all I have left is mine. But first I'm going to do, like, announcements, thank yous, all of that. Get that out of – well, not out of the way because that sounds mean. Anyway, thank you to the people that brought a poem tonight, Frank, Laughing Soul, Jay, Phil, Marius, Stephen, Angel, Hatter, Titus, and Linda and AP, and, of course, like, people that called too, Jay and Hatter, they're still on the line, AP and Linda and Stephen. Thank you all for calling and hanging out. I know Deb apologized earlier saying she couldn't come for the show because she was on
She wanted me to apologize for not being able to be here.
She already sent me an apology, which I'm okay with. Okay. Like, I don't come to every single show. Like, so, like, nobody has to come to every single one of mine. I don't have to come to, like, we have lives. Like, we're going to have things going on. Like I said to Stephen earlier, I don't call on their shows often because usually it's early in the evening and I just get off of work. So I come home. I want to eat. I want to shower. I don't want to move. Like,
sure.
But, yeah, that's usually the way that it is. But, yeah, and then shows that are coming up, like I said, this is my last show for the year. I think my next one is in the middle of January next year, or I should say next month. Next year makes it sound a thousand times away. But I know tomorrow is Sweetie doing her Sweet Discussions. She's going to have Raconteur helping her. And it is called Leftovers Again. So she's asking you to bring poems that are waiting to be read that have been sitting in the back of the fridge, almost too moldy to eat. Okay. Don't know. I mean, that's very clever. Listen, maybe I'll come tomorrow night and bring me a moldy poem. Let me see if I can.
A moldy poem.
Yeah, imagine a poem about mold. I'm pretty sure it's on here. If I probably typed somewhere in a search engine and typed in mold, there is probably a poem about it.
I have a poem about black mold. I do.
Oh, wow. Well,
but being a fun guy. Being a fun guy. Fun guy.
All right, well, that's Sweet Pea show tomorrow. Her show is at 10 Eastern. And then I know for the 30th, I just saw it. Yeah, Stephen said it earlier, Man Cave with Hatter and Stephen. Just talking, not much poetry, just hanging out. Festival's going to be 11. And then for New Year's Eve, it's going to be you, Hatter, AP, and Deb for at 10 p.m. Eastern. Homeward Bound, like the movie?
Oh, I love that movie.
That's all I'm thinking of. I know, that's a good movie. But yeah, what's going on.
Yeah, I love the film. I read that book. I remember that book.
I don't think I've ever.
I think he was more or less talking about Paul Simon, Homeward Bound.
Oh, okay.
But it doesn't matter. Whatever it brings to you, you know.
I think probably, no offense, I think it's about 75% of the people are probably going to think of the book or the movie.
Sure.
No
doubt.
I mean, that's what just came to my head, and then Jay was even thinking the same thing. So.
Well, I might be wrong. I could be wrong.
Yeah,
he was playing Paul Simon that night. Yeah.
But anyway, like I said, we have tomorrow the Man Cave, and then Saturday. And that's the next shows until next year, which, again, is weird to say. But I'm going to go ahead and read my poem. Hatter and Jay, if you feel free to comment, I don't care. I don't always ask for comments. I just read. So.
And it's odd being strange being a host, having to do that.
It is, because then you bring a poem and then you feel awkward asking. I have, but it's getting very awkward.
That's why you need a sidekick.
Yeah. You need like a side host or something.
Yeah, so I'm
I've had a few, but like usually I know there's somebody there that I jump in and help out. But yeah.
I have
Deborah.
We both have experience with that Hatter. So.
Yeah, I was about to say.
We both
Jay has his own thing. I was going to say, I think all three of us have been in this way too long. I know I started in like 2019, and like I think both of you started in like, you did the one Hatter a while ago. So both of y'all have a little more experience than I do, but we've all had like probably three or more years of experience here. So I think we're good.
Christmas Eve, I just had my 9th anniversary, Christmas Eve.
Oh, wow. On all poetry?
Yeah,
all poetry.
Sent me something in December, too. I'm trying to – oh, what? I think I was like eighth or ninth year as well.
It's 8 because I remember you and I are like a day or something apart when it comes to our all poetry anniversary, something like that, yeah.
A lot of us joined within a year and a half. A big group of people have that anniversary within a year. Yeah.
Well, I didn't come on here very much.
My very first gold in here was at Crystal's contest.
Really? Didn't know that.
Skillet.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now, sorry. Flashback. I forgot. That's right. I remember. Oh, I love that poem. Dang it. That's right. I know who else? There was somebody else that told me that I gave them their first gold, too. I think it was Randall S. I think he told me that I gave him his first gold, too, and I was like, say what? Like, I've had people that's come on here, and I'm like, how did I, what? And, like, they've been on, like, it sometimes makes me feel, like, old on the website because people have come and they're like, I've been reading your stuff for years, but then I realize I've been on here for 8 years. So, like, to think about that.
Now you is one, yeah.
Well, I know, I think it's Heavenly Angel that does, I think it's her. She does contests. Where she does, like, new poets versus old poets. And
yep.
I remember when I had, like, my 5-year anniversary or something like that, and I saw that, and then she put old poets down for 5 years or older, and I was like, I'm now in that category? What?
That freaked
me out.
It's coming for you. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's hard to believe that was 3 years ago, and now I'm probably closer to 10 years than I am 5, which is odd to me, but we're just going to go with it. It's weird I haven't gotten off the site, cut back a little bit, but
don't
that's
even
just because
talk about feeling old. Today was the very first day I received a senior coffee at McDonald's, okay?
Did you ask for it?
I just asked for a cup of coffee, and they ended up giving me a senior coffee, and I'm like, oh my god!
You know what you got to do now is you got to get that little tie that ties the glasses behind your neck so you don't lose them.
I can't see without my glasses, so I'm like,
Where are my glasses? Yeah, around your neck.
I know I felt old this year. I got my first pair of reading glasses, which I was like, yay. I was like, I'm in the category of all that. So luckily it's only for like little itty bitty print, but at least,
At least the surgeon feels young. The surgeon said, hey, if you were 70, I'd tell you not to get this surgery, but since you're in your 50s, you're young enough to get it. I'm like, thank you, doctor.
I know every time I go to the doctor, they're always like, you're a kid, and I'm like,
I'm 25 years old. And they're like, you're a kid. And I'm like, okay, sure. You can go with that. So, yeah, I think it's they've probably been in the practice for so long. They sit there and think somebody between probably the ages of 25 and 50 are young. So I take it as a compliment. And I would just
When I first got here, I had a couple of the older professors, Marsha Goss and I can't remember what the other guy went by. The Navy captain or Navy lieutenant. I thought that was great praise because I saw how long they had been on the site. Yeah, now I is one. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I mean, I know that there's still people on here that's been on here for 15, 16 years, probably some people 20 years. But I think the site is now like 23 years old, somewhere around there. It's hard to believe either.
What, the site itself, All Poetry?
Yeah, the site itself. If you go like where has like contact us and all the settings and stuff, it tells you the year.
Was it the 90s? Was it in the 90s it started?
Yeah, I think it was 99, if I remember correctly, that he made it in 99. Which, like, I just like always wondered, like, what does that even look like? I mean, I've been on the older site, but I'm pretty sure that's probably been through changes too. So I couldn't imagine what it looked like in 1999.
Yeah, I have
starting out.
Yeah, I got on the new site as soon as I got here. It was brand new. I was never on the old site.
I've been on the old site, but it's been by choice.
1999. Okay, good memory.
Probably happened was the year before Google got started, so then maybe he thought, oh, let me start my own website. I don't know. Who knew? I don't know what went through Kevin's head with all this, but, I mean, he got, like, probably thousands and thousands of people, so it went somewhere. I mean, if you type in poetry website.
I think a lot of people came from AOL.
That could be true. You don't know.
I came from the original poetry.com when they actually let people converse and put their own poems in before they became something that's totally different. Someone mentioned this site to me and I went over to this site and I liked it a lot better and I ran with this.
Yeah, I tried two other sites before I got to All Poetry, and yeah, it was the best by far, the way it was set up. Yeah,
I think
I
think I first started on what is the name of it? It's a website from a really long time ago. Not really long, kind of long time ago. Wattpad. Like I started. It's mainly people that wrote books. But I went on there and I started putting my poetry, but it wasn't really getting much notice. And then I think like a few months later, I joined here. I don't even know what made me. I was just sitting in the computer chair and like, and I suddenly was like, I'm gonna look up a poetry website. And like, so I did, and I ended up here. I don't know. That was, I guess, the very big decision in my life. One that only took like 5 seconds, I guess, to just sit in the computer chair and do that. I don't know. And I would just keep talking. Probably should go ahead and read my poem and end it tonight because I know we're now in time. Anyway, earlier I was saying I didn't know what poem to pick, and I still don't. Like I said, I have some over this year, but I'm pretty sure I needed to
end the show with some hope, because I know people have been asking for it. So here we go. This is called A Glimmer of Hope. Memories beckon ash wings, brushing dove wings, cradling her wet cheeks. Bleeding blossoms blow kisses, shadowing sunlight over periwinkle peaks. Chestnut curls traces her chin, cupping hands on clocks, trembling on tree stumps. Winged willows whisper, ivory butterflies forming smiles in swamps. Lavender lilies lurk on the vine she carries through the ripped strands of rope. Chestnut curls glisten into the dark of darkness, gleaming a glitter of hope.
Great.
Yeah, what did you think?
I thought it was beautiful. It's actually, you I kind of slipped into a little bit of Super Chick here, Beauty from
Hell. Oh, wow.
You know, and I'm like thinking that, yeah, there's a lot of pain in here, but you paint it all with such beauty. And ultimately, in the end, is when we come through these situations, when we come through these hard times, we are often created into something more beautiful than what was before, because I don't call them necessarily scars. You can call them beauty marks. And you can let them mold who you are as a person, and each individual person, who they are beautiful. And that is the overall message that I see within this, within this poem itself. It is the true beauty from pain.
Yeah, it sort of speaks of what she says, winged willow, the whisper, and the ivory butterfly swarming smiles in swamps. Even the swamp is beautiful with the butterflies. And I love the when you said the white ones. When you were describing earlier, JC, the butterflies, bushes, I mean, that's what the village of Fair Oaks, where I grew up, was like. They were all over all the time and taken for granted. You don't know what you got till it's gone. Just the memory of the butterfly. And it affects me because it affected my mother so much. I learned later in her life, she noticed it through the 45 years that we lived, that she lived in the house there. But anything that brings those kind of emotions, those memories, is a well-written poem. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah. You know, it takes a forest fire for a pine cone to actually open up and start growing.
Oh, it's supposed to burn. That's why it's been a tragedy. We've gotten so good at suppressing these fires, we're building a bomb. Don't let them burn the way nature's supposed to.
Yep. Then because that's
the
the way pine cones grow is through those forest fires.
Yeah, yeah.
You have that fire. You have that you're going through, but it ultimately has a layer of growth to it, and you're going to grow bigger by going through that fire. And when you come out of that fire, you're going to be something.
Yeah. It's cleansing the earth. The charcoal and the ashes that are left is great fertilizer that starts growth. And it's amazing how fast growth starts after a fire.
Absolutely.
Thank you too for your comments and everything. It was weird you were bringing up about the swamp. So I want to say something real quick before I end the show. It does kind of display some part of my life. I don't think Jay knows this, but everybody else does. I worked at a summer camp in the summer. I traveled a little bit because I wanted to do some traveling, and I also wanted to get work and money at the same time. So I did that. But the ivory butterflies in the swamps was actually something I experienced whenever I wasn't working with kids or doing things. I would just take nature walks, and we had a lake for the kids to play in. And often there was like a big swampy area on the side, and that's usually where you'd find butterflies. That's where they would be, which I know that they're attracted that, but I always thought it was interesting that there'd be some sort of beauty in all of that murky, disgusting water and everything, but you'd see these beautiful blue and white and different colored butterflies just forming around, and that kind of made me think.
You know, I had my cousins that were older than I, that lived on a farm that I ended up growing up in. They would take the clear poly urethane, the clear, and they put the insects or butterflies inside, and it just preserves it. You know, when it hardens, it's like a paperweight. Some of the butterflies that they were able to capture in those things was quite impressive. I know it's sort of cruel to do, but
great thoughts, guys. And like I said, I'm going to go ahead and end the show because I know it's late and everybody. It's not late for Hatter, but late maybe for me and Jay.
Yeah.
But again, thank you to everybody that gave a poem and read and stuff like that and called and hung out. Presence was definitely, and your poems were definitely appreciated. And Happy New Year, everybody. Like I said, this is my last show of the year. So Happy New Year, everyone. And hopefully 2023, like, if it's going to keep being years of lessons for everybody, here we go. But hopefully we can keep, like, going on and keep hoping and praying for a good year. I'm hoping for 2023. I think everybody is. Thank you, guys. Everybody.
Good show, Hope.
Thank you for having
me. Bye, Heather. Bye, Zane. Good night, guys.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.